I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Are your leads falling through the cracks? My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time, at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style personality assessments to raise the hiring bar, and we assist sales and operations to avoid getting stuck in shallow waters so they have smooth sailings. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations, and if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the lines so you can talk directly with our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes. We'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors, and you can print the slides off on the lower right-hand corner. You'll see a print icon there. Our special guest with us today is Michelle Horn, who is a longtime friend, very cool person, and a car racer. Michelle is a marketing consultant. She has used many CRM systems to track leads and to make sure that they are not falling through the cracks. Michelle is the Marketing Addict of Marketing by Bullfrog, a CRM solutions provider. Michelle has taken her experience as a business analyst, CRM consultant, entrepreneur, salesperson, and director of marketing, combined them into a powerhouse of marketing. And when you get to hear Michelle today share ideas, or you want to talk to Michelle offline, you're going to truly understand powerhouse of marketing. I feel privileged to have Michelle with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be advanced sourcing, getting top talent through social network recruiting, and Barry Deutsch will be doing that particular program. Michelle, I want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being on our program today.
Thank you for having me, Dana. So this is actually a topic that is very close to my heart. When I was in the CRM industry, I actually trained people how to keep leads from falling through the cracks. So this is just perfect for me. So to get started, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about what do leads mean. So as you guys all read the topic, are your leads falling through the cracks? I want to make sure that everybody understands leads comes in different flavors. So this is just how we break them out. You have three types of leads, ultimately. One is unqualified cold leads. These are lists that you've bought. You might have gotten a list from a trade show. You don't know if these people are still alive, if the companies are active. These are just people that you have somewhere. So we like to call these targets. Some people call them suspects. Then there's leads. We actually call the leads, they're kind of unqualified, but they're warm. This could be inbound leads, website leads, if you went to a trade show and shook somebody's hand, these are warm leads. And then you have your opportunities. These are prospects that have been qualified that are now going through a sales process, or your customers that need a new service or a product or upgrade or whatever the case may be. These kind of fall into the qualified arena. So we're going to do, if you guys would, a quick, very unscientific poll today. And you can use your chat screen. And I would just like to know, for the purposes of today, when you heard that your leads are falling to the cracks, what were you guys thinking? Were you guys thinking that it was the cold leads, the list leads, the warm leads, the qualified leads, or just all of your leads through the cracks? So if you guys could just take a quick second and in the chat comment section, just put warm, cold, all, qualified, just so I can kind of see where everybody's coming from. Because leads do mean different things to different folks. So that would be great. So I've got some alls. So just trying to get some feedback here so I can make sure we talk to all the things. I got some more alls. Okay, we've got a couple of warm. People think that their warm leads are falling through the cracks. So that's good. You might have a handle on your qualifieds. great. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that with me. So that just kind of lets me know that where we're heading today is really that everything's, for the most part, falling through the cracks. So a little bit of overview.
The numbers just kept going up on the warm area.
Oh, there you go. Great.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for participating.
So as an overview, I'm going to talk about the three places where leads typically fall through the cracks, and that is what kind of system or what application are you using. It's going to fall through the cracks from your marketing process and from your sales process. So I'm going to brush upon all of those. And, again, go ahead and ask questions if they come to mind, and then we'll deal with them as we can. So for the systems, there's usually four systems that people use. The first system people use are the CRM systems. This might be Apps, this might be Salesforce, could be SalesLogix, any of the CRMs that are out there, because they're considered front office systems. Then there's the systems that are the ERP or accounting systems. So an ERP system could be SAP, Oracle, Sage, the math products, 9200, 500 are huge in the United States as well as Europe, it could be something as simple as QuickBooks, so that's your back office. Then we have the lists. You know, some people keep their systems in lists. And for individuals, there's a slim chance that lists will work, but not often if you're really trying to manage a relationship. But lists could be Outlook. Unfortunately, it still qualifies as a list, a glorified list, though. Could be Google Contacts, Google Calendar, could be Excel. So those are the lists. And then, of course, there are, believe it or not, people that have paper. Dana, when you asked, you know, are people switching or are they coming off, rarely do we have somebody that doesn't have anything. Like they have Excel and then they're trying to upgrade. But most people are going from, you know, growing up as they go through their CRM. So if you guys could do me a favor and just do another unscientific poll here. And just let me know, where is your data? Is your data typically in your CRM, in accounting, maybe both CRM and accounting? Maybe it's on a list or in paper. Just a quick, again, through your chat box, just let me know where your data is being kept. What I will tell you as you guys come through is for larger organizations, it's CRM. For individuals, it could be CRM or lists. There are some companies that keep a lot of their data in their accounting systems, which is really tough to do. And then, of course, there is a good old paper. So I got a paper on here, accounting and lists. We've got CRM. So I'll let you guys keep answering that question if you guys will. And then that just lets me know where we kind of stand. So I would, and we'll talk about this at the end, we're going to talk about a little bit about what you should do with the CRM versus the accounting. So let me keep moving forward.
We also have some PM software and Excel.
Okay. So PM, I'm assuming they're meaning project management software and Excel. Okay. So that's going to be, if the project management has some CRM aspects to it, it may or may not qualify in the kind of the CRM category. It really depends on each solution could be a little bit different. So the system's the first place where leads fall through the cracks because you don't have a good system to really keep track of those. The second place that leads fall through the crack is really going to be with marketing. So, you know, the question is, what kind of leads are you giving your salespeople? So I broke them out, and this is, you know, the phrase to Clint Eastwood, if you guys know the movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So the good is they're ready to buy, they're rocking, they're your target market. That's who you're typically shooting for today. However, the other two types of leads that we have the bad, and they're just uneducated. They're potentially a future buyer, so they're not going to be bad for forever. And then we have the ugly, which are the tire kickers, which there are people that are time wasters in this world. We all know that. So the question is what kind of leads are you giving to your salespeople? You know, typically what we see is that all of the sales go to the salespeople, whether the good, the bad, or the ugly. And the problem is that the salespeople are already overworked, and now we're truly asking them to throw away more precious time that they could be using for valid and qualified sales. So one of the things for you to think about is, do you really want your salespeople to work on real opportunities, or quite often they spend a lot of time working on opportunities that are never going to come to fruition. And so, you know, this is something that we see. I'll give you an example. One of my clients in 2011, they got about 130 leads. And then what they do is they take that lead, they'd have an assistant take a Word template and change a couple of things and then send that out to them as a deliverable. And then the salesperson would follow up with a call and would spend somewhere between 30 to 60 minutes in total trying to chase the person down. Then they'd have a qualifying conversation. at the end of the day, all of this turned around. It maybe brought them in $15,000 to $25,000 in business, which doesn't really make much sense. And the problem is we're throwing these very cold leads, or in this case, the inbound leads over to a salesperson. But we have no idea if they're living or breathing or just wasting our time. And so we really find that if you're going to give your salespeople everything, you are truly wasting their time in today's arena. Our salespeople today are not paid to truly be nurturers. You know, nowadays, salespeople are making somewhere like 100 sales calls a month, by the way, which is not a lot. And there's no time for them to do this nurturing process. So with that, the buying cycle has changed. So we're in a new economy. I'm sure this is nothing new. I'm sure if you guys attend other webinars and are reading the internet, this is pretty commonplace now. So the buying cycle's changed. You know, people are now in the process of doing their own research. You know, it used to be that the salesperson was in charge of educating the buyers. When the salespeople are educators, it creates a bond with the buyer and then influences the buying decision towards your product or service. Well, we're not there today. Now buyers are educating themselves and only come to a salesperson when they're ready to buy. But in today's fast-paced economy, we're just not paying our salespeople to nurture the prospects anymore. So our salespeople have huge quotas and a ton of busy work, and it's just not where we are today. So the question is how do we have our cake and eat it too? How do we become an influence in the buying process? And the reality is the answer is through nurture marketing. So how do we hold their hand, become their best friend, so that when they're ready to buy, they're going to come to us first? Okay. So what we talk about in marketing is moving the bad to the gold. So this is all about nurture marketing. And you can move leads through a process until they become good leads, and at which point in time, then you give the good leads to the salespeople. Okay? If you're throwing over all of the bad and ugly leads, you're just wasting their time. So this can be done through nurture marketing. So you're going to educate the bad and the ugly folks. The good folks are going to get called. And of course, there's always a couple of those rockin' deals that we're going to sell to immediately. Okay. So. Let me keep moving here.
Oh, a question just came in. What happens if a person never gets out of the ugly stage?
They don't get called, unfortunately, Dana. If they're not progressing through the system, then unfortunately they're not going to get called. And that's not to say that they're bad people. They're not serious about where they are. If a nurture marketing program is set up appropriately, Dana, you can find out where they are in the process through different clicks. For instance, if it's email, through different clicks. Maybe it's if they come to events. You know, there's all of this data now on tracking emails. This is nothing new, but, you know, when you're tracking emails, people get different interest levels. If I open the email, that might be a low interest level. If I click on something, that's a much higher interest level. If I come to an event could be, of course, a webinar, it could be a physical event. If I come to an event, hot, let's start chasing these people, nicely, of course. But these are the types of people that we want to start doing. And so I think for a lot of people, they're just not going through the full cycle. And a part of it is we're bombarded with data, right? We have people are, you know, they're kind of beer-bonging data now. And it's hard to sort it out. It's hard to step back and breathe for a moment and figure out, okay, if I do this over here, this will help me. And I think that's really part of the process, which we'll kind of get into when we talk about the automated marketing stuff.
Okay, that's good. A number of people just signed in. You can print the slides off on the print icon. And also, for those of you who are mobile right now, maybe sitting in a parking lot or airport, we'll be sending up the slides in a couple of days with the audio, and so you'll be able to print them at that point. Okay, Michelle, back to you.
So this is actually very interesting. So these are the new rules of sales enablement. There's an e-book by a guy named Jeff Ernst, and he's a Forrester research analyst. And in his book, he claims that 65% of a sales rep's time is not spent selling, which is huge. And I tell you, as a CRM consultant, I saw this all the time. The reality is that most salespeople don't spend their time selling. That doesn't mean that they don't do some activities surrounding selling, but they're not selling. So, you know, and Jeff said that people spend probably 30 hours a month spent research, searching for and creating their own sales material. That I can't validate, although I tell you, I see it all the time. People are wasting time. As a matter of fact, one of my clients, they're trying to get references for this one particular client, and then all of a sudden a fire drill happens, and you know, if we add up everybody's time, all of a sudden 10 hours are wasted. So I do see the time is spent searching, trying to get marketing materials together. And the sales rep's time, and we'll continue to talk about the sales rep's time. The sales rep's time gets lost, and it is an amazing amount of time that gets lost. So to kind of back that statistic up, in CSO Insights did a 2011 sales optimization study. And what they said is for the sales reps, let me see if I can get this right, the sales reps that spent less than 35% of their time selling only hit their quota, achieved their quota 55% of the time. And for people who spent over 45% of their time, they hit their quota 62% of the time. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I would be pretty disappointed if 40% of my reps were under quota. You know, the reason that we set quotas is to make quotas. You know, quotas are not typically, hey, if we don't make it, there's no skin off our nose, right? That's not typically the case. You know, so one of the questions is if you can, you know, if you gave each one of your salespeople an extra 5 hours per week to sell, what impact could that have on the bottom line? So typically, if your organization is like others, it translates into an additional gain of somewhere between 5 and 15% in net new revenue. Most people would be happy to have another 5 to 15%. So, you know, I think it's really worth looking at from that standpoint. So the next question really talks about where do the salespeople waste their time? So, again, we're talking about three different places that salespeople waste their time. They waste their time with the CRM system. It's not adequate enough, or they're not doing something properly. They waste their time with marketing, so, and then they're going to waste their time with lack of time management and useless reports. So let me kind of break this pie down. This is why I made this. The systems that we're talking about, typical things that we see for systems is antiquated quoting, and disparate data, meaning the data is in your CRM or on a list or in your website and in your accounting. It's all over the place. And I see salespeople literally bang their head against the wall, and they could spend 20 minutes going to each one of the systems, gathering the data that they need to gather to make the appropriate phone calls. We see all the time when accounting systems, and I'm kind of talking about CRM systems a lot because that's where the background is, but if accounting systems and CRM systems don't talk to each other, we see sales guys walk into account and upsell or get another sale, and then all of a sudden come to find out that the account's on hold or there's some kind of issue in the background that the salesperson never knew about. So when you have disparate data, it really reflects wasting the salesperson's time, and then it always comes through from a customer standpoint, right? The customer always wants to know, if you didn't do that, well, why didn't you know that? You're my salesperson. Aren't you the person that's supposed to know everything about me? Why don't you know that data? And so from that standpoint, if the salesperson has a handle on all of the things that are happening with customer service and all of the things that are happening with accounting, they become the true one point for this client, meaning they should know everything when they walk into a client. You know, if a salesperson walks into a client, there's been a customer service issue, they're going to get railroaded not knowing that something went on. So disparate data really does hurt organizations. So real quick, I had a question that says, are you differentiating product sales from service sales? And the answer is, in this case, no. In this case, it's both the same thing. You know, data in multiple systems really hampers, not just salespeople, by the way, but the company as a whole by not sharing data. Antiquated quoting goes for both products and services. I see a lot of companies that have quoting systems that could take a person an hour to do a quote. And that's actually fairly commonplace from what I see, half an hour to an hour. The reality is if you have all the components, assuming, by the way, that you're not doing some huge configuration, right? This is not a complex product. This is, they need A, B, and C. This is not, if A is this size, this is not building computers or building machines, right? This is simpler products. The antiquated quoting kills people all the time. They have to go to a different system, and the product table's not up to date, and then they have to grab this stuff, and then they have to go put in the CRM that they did. It's amazing how much time is wasted on antiquated quoting systems. And there's fabulous stuff out there nowadays, and the technology just gets better with that kind of stuff.
Question. What is the biggest time waster you see?
You know, I think it varies between companies. I think some companies might do marketing well, and then their CRM system falls short. I would probably say, that's tough. Dana. I would probably say the disparate data, the systems place is where people fall. Probably the system slice, disparate data and antiquated quoting. I think that's really where people waste stupid time. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, from a marketing perspective, you know, it's really hard. Each company is going to be different, but from a marketing perspective, I see a lot of people, again, like we already said, uneducated leads. They throw every lead to the salesperson and expect them to qualify that. Well, when you do that and a salesperson actually has a healthy pipeline, the salespeople want to concentrate on what's getting closed because that's what they're getting paid on, right? And if they have an uneducated lead that, let's say a typical buying cycle is 3 months, and let's say this lead is a year out, typically what's going to happen is lead's going to fall through the cracks because the salesperson always has a new month to close, and they have a new month to close, and they're not going back and spending the appropriate time with the person that needs to have their hand held for a year. So uneducated leads is a big time waster, as is inadequate sales material. There's an interesting book by Mahan Kalsa. If any of you haven't read it, I would highly suggest it. It's called Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play, and this is for consultative selling, so this is for services. Actually, I take that back. That would help for products as well. It's really consultative selling. And he was a part of Franklin Covey's sales program that they created called Helping Clients Succeed, which is a phenomenal program. And Mahan contends that for every company, there are a set of questions and answers from a sales process that don't change. So this is typical, the 80-20 rule. 80% of the stuff always stays the same. So when people are hitting you with questions, well, does it do this and what about this, those aren't changing questions. They're set. And Mahan kind of says that if you're kind of keeping in motion with the fact that there's a world that you live within and it doesn't change quite often, that the marketing compartment, you know, the marketing department could write the standard 15 emails or the pieces of collateral that everybody uses instead of a salesperson. And I see this time and time again. They go through, they find that one email they sent to client X, they change a couple pieces of data, and then they send it to client Y, as opposed to just picking a template, and this kind of goes into the processes we'll talk about, as opposed to just picking one template and the system fills in all the data for him. Absolutely, he could change a line or two here, but in reality, that email should satisfy 80% of what he's doing and send that out. And that really does account for a lot of salesperson's time, is this inadequate sales material. So that's the marketing components. And I apologize. After I thought about it, I should have put those two pie slices together. But, I was wasting my time, apparently. And then the last two things we have
somebody's asking, what's the name of that book again?
This is probably the best book I've ever read, Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play.
Okay.
By Mahan Kalsa, Khalsa. And he is the guy that companies would bring in as a hired sales guy to knock down the gazillion-dollar sale. This is the guy.
Okay.
And it's a fabulous book, and it really does wrap a lot of this stuff into it, saying you can make a business more process-oriented. It should be more process-oriented. So The other two things that I really find are useless reports. I see managers all the time ask for useless reports. If the report isn't going to help make a business decision, then don't have the report. And I see sales guys filling out stupid reports all the time. If you need a report, and it's part of how you make business decisions, then again, going back to hopefully you guys have something, a CRM in place, the CRM should spit the report out for you based upon their work, right? We shouldn't have to be doing a lot of extra stuff for reports to come back out. And then I see a lack of time management. Time management is a skill that is learned. It's not typically innate. And I think a lot of people expect their salespeople to be good at time management when that's an unfair expectation. If you haven't given them the skill, the training to become skilled, then why would you expect somebody to be there? So let me go to the next slide.
Okay.
Maybe. So processes are game changers. So consistent salespeople have a process. Consistent salespeople know when to call. They know how often to call. They know what to do, and they know when to do it. And it's typically because they're putting it down. They're writing it in a place. They're putting it in their CRM system. And it's consistent every single time. And this is really where the rubber meets the road here. You know, I can tell you from experience that having a process in place makes you so much more productive. I've used a lot of CRM systems. There are a couple of them that I loved and I was very productive on. There are a few of them that I didn't like that I wasn't productive on. And so I've seen it on all the scales. Consistent people, again, do it the same way every single time. You know, so tasks are written in one place. They're not in all over the place. They're not in a CRM and on a smartphone and on sticky notes and on the back of an envelope and on a piece of paper, right? That is not what consistency, that's not where you're going to get to the place. Everything needs to be in one place, and the question is, how does your company move in that direction? And while that's a little bit of a shift, right, you have to bring some technologies together and really start changing the way that people think, the outcome is once you get past the initial pain, the learning curve, it just sets your company up for so much more. And it helps, believe it or not, when your salespeople have a process. This is actually true of anybody. When somebody has a process and they know exactly what to do, when to do it, they are happier people. So, it's not just a selling the outcome of good sales. It's actually the outcome of just having happier salespeople. So, Mahan Khalsa believes that if you put a process in place for selling, right, and the process for selling also includes some of the marketing piece, that you can outsell the competition time and time again. He created a program called 95-5 and said if you could sell this way, you would be the 5% of the sales in the sales population, and the 5% will always win over the rest of the folks. And so it was quite an interesting topic. So consistency rules. So eagles are not usually consistent. And eagles is kind of a term typically associated with salespeople, but an eagle is somebody that knows what they're doing. They just do it. They don't have a process in place. They excel without any help, and they're just superstars. So eagles are rare, though. We can't all come by eagles. And if any of you have read The E-Myth, which is, by the way, also a great book, which talks about processes, by Eric Gerber, I believe, like Gerber Baby Food. Growing a company around an eagle has a lot of drawbacks. If that eagle leaves, there's no process to put in another person unless you hire an eagle. Hiring an eagle is difficult. And Dana, you probably see this all the time.
Right.
So the question is if you can put processes into place, you may not turn a normal, regular, everyday salesperson into an eagle, but you could train them to be a hawk, right? And hawks are going to be much better than, you know, your pigeons and blue jays and every other common bird thereafter. So you really want to find some consistency, put some processes in place so that you don't have to hire eagles. Don't get me wrong, if you get an eagle, great, although some eagles can be prima donnas, but eagles don't need help. It's really everybody else that needs the help. So let me talk a little bit about time management. So time management, so this comes to I'm typically talking about a salesperson here, although it does ring true for everybody. Time management for a salesperson. It takes a salesperson about 3 minutes to input. This is the conversation that we had. A salesperson will inherently know the big pieces of the deal. So it's an elephant, it's got a long trunk, it's got four legs, it's got really big ears. What the salespeople typically lose, because they're talking to so many people and they've got so much on their plate, is they lose the what's the color of the nails, does it have a bow in its hair, what are all the little bitty aspects, is it gray, is it green, whatever the case may be. And those small aspects are what sets salespeople apart. So let me give you an example. If I have a phone call, Dana and I have a phone call together, we spend 30 minutes on the phone, and I write down the minutiae, which are the things that ultimately matter. I don't talk with Dana for 2 months, right? Out of sight, out of mind, and then, of course, Dana and I get back together. I look like a hero in Dana's eyes, hopefully. If I say, hey, Dana, here's what we talked. Let me do a quick recap. The recap's going to take me 10 minutes, and I'm going to rattle off the things we talked about. And Dana, hopefully, is going to be so impressed the fact that I cared enough to have that information at my fingertips, that hopefully Dana, that's going to be a little feather in my cap. Dana's going to go, you know what, that Michelle, she's organized, she's on top of stuff. And that makes a difference in the long run. So not only does it look good to Dana, right, and that I look like I'm organized, I got my stuff together, people like to buy from organized people, but it also ends up saving me time. I don't have to spend another 30 minutes with Dana, you know, trying to figure out what did we talk about 2 months ago. This happens over and over again as the days continue for your salespeople. So it's a great customer service tool, and then it turns around and saves the salesperson time. So those are calls. Calendaring is another thing, calendaring your tasks. So it takes about a minute to input a task. I need to send Dana this piece, a quote. I need to send him this backup. I want to get him a referral. I want to do these things. It takes me about a minute to even put each task. But the result is, one is you don't have any disappointed customers because things aren't falling through the cracks. And there's an undue the stress of trying to figure out what needs to be done from a salesperson's standpoint is fairly overwhelming. And let me kind of put this in perspective, and I hope all of you would agree to this. But imagine if you – let's talk about your day. If you just said you went to work in the day and you just started doing the things you needed to do, but you didn't have a list. Every time you accomplished a task, you would have to stop what you were doing, and you would have to figure out what's the next priority. And that takes somewhere between 5 minutes to 10 minutes for our brains to kick into gear to figure out what's next. If you have a calendar that says at 10 o'clock you do this, at 11 o'clock you do this, at 11:30 you do this, you will rock through all of those steps very quickly, and then you'll actually end up having time at the end of the day. The other bonus is from a psychological standpoint. If you bang out all the things on your calendar at the end of the day, there's the feeling of, oh my God, I actually got something accomplished and I rocked it today. And if any of you have had a day where you've really just knocked out a whole bunch of stuff and you feel great at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do every day. So calendaring is huge. You know, opportunities also are interesting if people are, again, whether it be CRM or not CRM, opportunities, the data must be easy to find. I'll tell you that salespeople sell by their mood. If any of you are salespeople, I hope you would agree with me that sometimes you're in the mood to go after the big folks. Sometimes you're closing the deals, and sometimes you just have an extra hour. You're like, I need to get more people in my pipe. So selling is a moody thing, and salespeople should be able to find things based upon a mood. And the last thing is prospecting. Everybody hates prospecting typically, right? You might have one of those oddball people that love it, but prospecting is hard to do. And if you don't block it on the calendar, there are a lot of other excuses that will pop into place that will take its place. And then what happens is your sales funnel at the top where the leads come in gets smaller and smaller. And when that gets smaller, the pipe ends up getting smaller in the long run. So, you know, time management is really, really critical for salespeople. Everybody on a whole, but salespeople more importantly, I would say.
Question just came in. Their sales force averages 6 calls per hour, and people are taking lots of notes in between calls. And it's a media sales company.
Okay.
Is that a low or high number, you think?
I'd probably say if they're inbound calls, I'd probably say
outbound.
I would say depending upon if they're inside sales versus outside sales, right? Inside sales are just knocking things down. Outside sales are kind of doing a little bit more strategy. Maybe
mm-hmm.
that's a little unfair, but I think that's common. What I would definitely say is if they don't, everybody should have a headset. If you're using a CRM and people are taking calls, they should have a headset. They should be banging out, this is what important, da-da-da-da-da, go make a couple things on the calendar and then go to the next one. So I think that's probably an okay volume, but there are ways that they can make that a little bit quicker, I would expect.
Thank you.
And that's just processes, right? That's just figuring out how we can do it better, faster.
Okay.
That's a deal. That's a good question. So the next slide is some takeaways. So I'm kind of moving quickly. I do talk fast. Actually, I take that back. Hang on 1 second. I think I missed one. All right, so there's a slide that didn't get on here. So let me just do some math with you guys, which is a little bit hard to do without seeing it. But if you find minutes here and there, so for instance, as I said with a call, you know, if you spend 3 minutes inputting a call, you'll save 30 minutes. I did a whole math thing for you guys. You know, if you do it one time a day, you save 10 hours by the end of the month. So little minutes, right, throughout the entire day doing these over and over again, you can save big hours. Let me give you an example. If you put a task on your calendar and it takes you a minute, right, for every task that you go through, let's say you do have 10 tasks a day. And after every task, if you're not putting it in a calendar and you're just kind of randomly, well, now what do? You're going to waste 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes per task. Okay. At the end of a month, that's 18 hours. So when people think that the minutes don't count, the reality is that they do. 5 minutes, 10 times a day, comes out to another 18 hours a month. 18 hours a month is huge.
Wow.
Not just for salespeople, but for everybody. And so this math continues, right? If I'm chasing my opportunities and it takes me 3 minutes to input and it saves me 30 minutes a day, just a day, just 30 minutes. By the way, I'm sure you can all figure out how you can be a little bit more productive by 30 minutes a day. It's 10 hours a month. So by getting these little minutes, I came up with math and just said, okay, well, there's 48 hours at the end of the month. Now, not everybody's going to get 48 hours, but if you got another 10 hours at the end of the month for your salespeople to sell, that translates to money. That translates to revenue that salespeople could do. So, you know, I'm happy to share that math if anybody wants to see that, but the minutes really do matter here. So I know we want to let everybody talk here and ask questions if they have any. So here are my takeaways for today. Train your team in time management, and that means get somebody in that knows CRM, that knows time management, and get them some training. Give them the skills. Don't expect them to pick it up on their own, or they would have done it already. Integrate your front-end systems and your back-end system, which is your CRM and your accounting or your website or the list or wherever you keep all that data, integrate it and make it one nice little ball of wax. The ball of wax ends up projecting through a CRM. Meaning, as a salesperson, I go to CRM, and all the data I need to have is in there. I don't need to go to the accounting system or the marketing system or the website system. So integrate is a big takeaway. Create processes. Step one, step two, step three, step four. And we didn't talk so much about the workflow, but workflow for the big CRMs that are out there, Salesforce, Microsoft, Sugar, SalesLogic, Sage, workflow is huge in those applications, meaning I can just set up, let me give you an example, renewals. Renewals wastes a lot of time if somebody's doing annual renewals. Okay, I know it's a kind of a small niche, but if you're doing an annual renewal, the customer should be notified 120 days, 90 days, the salesperson should be notified. There's all of these very small components that should happen for a renewal to take place properly. And the problem is people don't do it. Then all of a sudden people go, oh, my God, I only have a week to renew. Where did it all happen? What went wrong? If you have a workflow, which is a process in place that it happens this way, and you automate it, that's where the gold starts happening. That it just, you don't necessarily need to make sure that you have a super organized person. You just need somebody that can follow a list and bang the things off a list. And Dana, you know, I'll go back to you. It's easier to find somebody that's just going to follow the rules as opposed to have to be super organized. Would you agree?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. So really automate anything and everything that you can, and you will see a huge difference. And that's one of the things, Dana, you and I were talking about the time zone or the trend.
Right.
While the trend is slow and while we're not all killing ourselves right now, this is the time to put those processes and automation and things in place now while we're still not killing ourselves. So minutes matter. An hour a day ends up giving somebody another 12.5% of time that they could spend selling. Ends up turning into dollars. Implement nurture marketing campaigns and just make sure your marketing collateral is in place and, you know, train, and get everybody on the same page. So that's all I got.
So if the we're going to up the line in just a minute here, but building a database or the CRM system can be a bit tedious, but if it's done right and laid out for growth, the efficiency and return on the investment will pay back many, many times in saving of time, but efficiency for the clients or customers. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And really the key there, Dana, is setting it up from the beginning, right?
It's
kind of
right.
Like building a house.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like building a house. You wouldn't just go draw a couple lines on a thing and then give it to the guys that are going to start framing the wood, right? You have to have all the little details printed out in order to build the house properly. So it's no different than that.
I know when we've done this and I've seen clients do it and they take the time to do it right, it's a big grueling, but at the same time, inefficiencies are identified going, we've been spending money and time there? No way. And all of a sudden you start adding it up. And just by the taking the time to do that, things pop up you'd never believe. Michelle, we have a question here, and then I want to let everybody know. I'm going to turn the recording equipment off, and then we're going to open the line up because we've had people in the past that they didn't want their voice recorded. Question is, what are your consulting billing rates? Also, please tell us about your car racing. We'll do that offline, so you could contact Michelle about that later on. Great question about the car racing, and Michelle has great pictures she can send to you. Michelle, yeah. Let's go to the last slide. In just a few minutes after we conclude this show, I'm going to turn off the recording. We'll open up the line so you can have an opportunity to talk to Michelle about car racing also. You'll see in your screen an area to register for our upcoming June 18th open line program, which is entitled Advanced Sourcing, Getting Top Talent Through Social Network Recruiting. So sign up today, reserve a space for yourself, and let us know if you'd like others in your staff or colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint of today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Michelle and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that were shared. If you'd like to contact Michelle to have further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together, or to discuss any of the ideas that you shared today, you'll see Michelle's contact information on your screen. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, such as workflow, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track open line program. Hold the line. I'm going to open up the line. For those of you who have to take off, have a great day. So please stand by just one second here.